Rabbeinu Akedah's Chibur HaMishnah. Chibur HaMishnah. Notice he doesn't say here there is never a... He doesn't say his Torah Shebaal Peh was never written down. There's never a work that they would use. In other words, there was never a systematized piece of something in writing that they would use as a instrument to teach. In other words, it's impossible to write down Torah Shebaal Peh, really. What could be written down though? And it's something that could be utilized to teach Torah Shebaal Peh, right? In other words, it's not saying that the idea that you can't write down Torah Shebaal Peh is not an idea that Torah Shebaal Peh can't be put into a written form. In other words, you can't make one book that you would teach Torah Shebaal Peh from. Right? So it's an interesting nuance there. Okay, go on. He does say, in other words, what do they not? In other words, it's interesting. Something was written down which related to Torah Shebaal Peh. In other words, they would write down things to help them remember what their teacher told them. In other words, there's no... Right, in other words, they had their own notebooks. It's interesting. The Isser of writing on Torah Shebaal Peh, as most people think, they couldn't write anything down. It's not an idea they can't write anything down. The idea is the nature of what is written. In other words, that the work is published. The idea of a work being published, the idea of having private notes, are two very different things. In other words, having private notes was acceptable. But the idea, what was the problem? The problem was having a published work, in other words, creating a uniformity. That everybody has to learn from this book. Right? So creating a book that's like a standardized text. Okay. It seems the Rambam thing, all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu, in every generation, the people could take notes. In other words, they would take notes on what they learned of Torah Shebaal Peh from their teachers. And everybody would obviously take notes differently. Yeah. Right? So one person's notes might look one way. It would still look as if everybody would write their own Mishnah Torah in a sense. But it was a private notebook, right? It was not a public notebook.
It does paint
an interesting picture. In other words, this picture that the Rambam's painting forces us to refine somewhat about how we understand this idea that Torah Shebaal Peh could not be written down. In other words, what exactly was the problem? In other words, it certainly wasn't a problem. It wasn't a problem that you can't, that, the moment you take a pen into your hand and you start writing down things that were spiritual pen, then you have a problem. Now, that's not the idea. See, there's an idea of a text that would be taught in public to teach people spiritual pen. Right? In other words, to create a standardized text. Right? So it's, let's gather all the facts here. Really, Ron was describing a situation where it was the regular practice. Everybody would write stuff for themselves. And it was almost expected, of course. I mean, you would write, in other words, you learn from your teacher, you're going to write stuff down. So there's almost a masora of notebooks. There's everybody has their own notebook that they teach from. And of course, they never would let this notebook out of their, to be published. That would be unheard of. It was their private notebook. And they would use that notebook to help them teach. In other words, the Rambam is depicting a situation where, basically, you don't expect that people have photographic memory. And even a photographic memory can have errors in it, can make mistakes. In other words, there's no such thing as a memory which is perfect. Meaning if computers have problems, with their memories, I'm sure people, organic memories also have problems, right? So even if you have photographic memory, so, and the Rambam himself said that one of the reasons he wrote down the Mishnah Torah, he writes, did many of the, he would start out the Mishnah Torah with a list of the mitzvahs. Why? So he would not leave any out. He said, how could the Rambam forget one of the mitzvahs? Okay, because he's human. In other words, one of them could, in other words, you know, people forget things. In other words, it's not a question of a lack of learning or that he's being irresponsible. It seems to go to the Rambam. Stop. Of course people had notebooks and they would write stuff down. Right? So then what's the answer of writing down Torah Shabbat text? The Rambam. Right. Right. The Rambam seems it's a very specific thing. You know, what did nobody ever do? They never wrote a book, a Chibur, that they would teach it in public, the Torah Shabbat text. Right? Interesting. It's almost everybody always thinks of, well, Torah Shabbat text, everything was totally memorized and they would be, you know, these amazing, you know, giants of memory. In other words, but that wasn't the idea according to Rambam. The idea of Torah Shabbat Peh was not that everybody should, was not that the old, in other words, because that would set up an impossible situation. The only people who could be telling it to Rambam would be people who have photographic memory.
Yeah.
How does that make any sense? Yeah. I mean, I don't think of all the Gedolim, I mean, if we took a survey of all the Gedolim, I think very few probably have photographic memory. I mean, maybe a lot of them did. Maybe a lot did, but I don't think that's what makes a gadol. What makes a gadol is not memory. If you go into some yeshiva, you know, around in New York, I mean, you find a bunch of people who know Shas by heart. They're not gadolim. Then you go to people who are gadolim and say, I don't remember. Give me a gemara. Right, means it's not a question. No, it's a question of understanding and the depth of your, you know, the depth of your kachma. It's not a question of how much you've memorized. You know, people make that mistake. Of course, there's an idea of committing certain things to memory, and they're not going to forget basic halakha. Say, what should you do before you eat? They're not going to say, I don't know, you should put sand on your hand. Right? I mean,
if they forget it, they eat the ones that are
something they're just. You guys, somebody just have to look something up, you know? Or you might have, you know, the way things used to work, well, you might have to consult your notebook. I can't remember what Rob said to me, and I can't remember what I can't remember what Rabbi Akiva. Oh, let me check my notebook. You know, look in your notebook, you know? I'm sure things like that went on. I mean, what, the people, everybody's, you know, in order to get membership to be one of the Talmidei Chachamim, we have to have photographic memory. I mean, it's useful, but that's not, I haven't seen that anywhere. No, that's certainly a useful quality to have, but if you're a shota, you have a photographic memory, it's not going to be very useful, right? So, doubting the fact that you said it's, you know, you should have a good memory, a gadol, a tremendous level of chacham is probably going to have a good memory. It doesn't require a photographic memory. And even people who, even if you don't have a photographic memory, if your whole life is the pursuit of this thing and you love this thing, you're going to remember it. In other words, people don't forget things that they love and that they are and they're obsessed with. In other words, what is the way? The way to kinyan Torah, because when it becomes an obsession, or this is a preoccupation, when you're so enraptured with this subject that you're constantly preoccupied with it, and these are things that you don't forget so easily. Things that you are, the thing which you view as the essence of your life and the tremendous and the main source of your enjoyment, you don't forget. Right? In other words, there are many kids who've memorized every baseball card, and they don't have photographic memories, but they love it. Right? Or people who have amazing knowledge of tons of different movies, or music, or things, they don't have photographic memories, they just love it, so they remember it. Right? So memory is an interesting thing, but... Basically what Rabbeinu Kadosh did, he gathered everything together, he wrote it down, and he published it. In other words, this time, instead of just keeping the notes private, he really refined it, really, you know, made it presentable to the public, and he published it. And everybody, then they didn't have printing presses, so they would say it in public, and people, you know, were there with their, you know, with their parchments or whatever they would use, and they would write it down, right? So basically that was how it became published, right? The obvious question now that I'm going to ask is, I mean, if Moshe Rabbeinu didn't write it down and nobody else wrote it down before, so why do you do it? All right, so let's go on. Moshe Rabbeinu could have talked. Why do you do it? Moshe Rabbeinu could have saw a need. There should be a unified system of notes, so to speak. In other words, there should be, there's a need It's because of the, basically, the lessening of students, right? So, and the all the troubles that were arising. So he basically thought it would be a situation that would lead to the forgetting of, this situation would lead to the forgetting of Parashabhata. Right? It is interesting. The Rambam doesn't address this as being a question of Isser or whether it's Usser and Mutter to do this activity. Right? It's interesting. You know, he just says, why did he leave it the way it was? Right? He doesn't say why did he not follow this command. Right? Why did he not leave it the way it was? You know, it's the famous thing, it says the right? So they said the reason he was able to do it was that there was an idea that if there's a time where there's you anticipate that there's gonna be some problem, so you're allowed to abrogate the Torah, right? So, but here it doesn't, the Rambam doesn't present it in terms of like there was an Isser, and then why did he decide to, neglect this Isser? It's more, why did he leave it the way it was? Right? It's an interesting way of presenting the way that Rabbeinu Akados went about writing the Mishnah, right? Possibly, in other words, we would have to address that issue. The source that says that they're allowed to write down Parashabhat Peh. In other words, why does Rambam sort of present this in a way? Basically, it's not an Isser; it's just the way that things were done, right? And of course, you could ask, even according to Rambam, you could ask, why wasn't it done that way? In other words, why was that the way that things were done? In other words, there must have been a reason that. Things that it was never written down, and now wouldn't that have made things easier? You have one standardized text. That's what you teach. Meaning, if it could work after Rabbeinu Kadosh wrote on the Mishnah, then why couldn't it have worked from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu?
Not a very difficult
concept. Moshe Rabbeinu could have written the textbook. Again, of course, it's not the Chumash. You write a textbook. It's the type of textbook that you can change. Also you would have to change stuff because, in other words, each basin is able to make a new decree and stuff could be forgotten, right? In other words, then they have to come up, they have to make decisions. In other words, it would have to be sort of an expandable textbook, right? Because even after when the Gemara was written down, they had to add material onto the Mishnah, in other words, because some decisions were made. Since the Mishnah was written down, so that had to be included in the Talmud, right? So, certain decisions and halacha, right? So, why is that the way that that things always went until Rabbeinu Akadosh, right? It seems that system of everybody writes their own private notebook is a better system than what Rabbeinu Akadosh did, and the only reason Rabbeinu Akadosh did it was because if he didn't do it, the Parashabhat Peh would have been forgotten. In other words, give up on this, in other words, we'll sacrifice this excellence for the ultimate cause, which is we don't want the whole thing to be forgotten, right? So sacrifice a little and gain a lot, right? So, This could also connect to the idea of the where they talk about the Isser and that's living down something, no one has a right to remove an excellence from Talmud Torah. In other words, what's the halacha here of Parashabhat Peh? This is the way that Talmud Torah was done. Or this is the way the Mesorah of Parashabhat Peh was passed on. And it seems this was an excellence in the transmission of Parashabhat Peh. There's an excellence in Talmud Torah that it should never be that there's just one textbook that everybody uses to learn it, right? So, no one has a right to simply do away with that excellence. So that's really the question. In other words, that's really, I think, the question even when they talk about it almost as an Isser. In other words, it's not an Isser. There's none of the Taryag Mitzvot is you can't write down Parashabhat Peh. Of course, there is a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, or the learning Torah, of passing on the Parashabhat Peh. This is an excellence in Torah Shabbat. You have no right to remove an excellence. So what right did he have? Eight Masos Lashem, my favorite Torah Secha. I think that Rambam, I think possibly that's why the Rambam doesn't need to present it in that way. Right? He doesn't have to present it as there's this or, right? That just makes things much more difficult. In other words, this is the way things were done. What right did he have to change it? In other words, why was it done that way? Because it's an excellence. It's an excellence in Talmud Torah. So now we have to understand, though, or what makes this an excellence in the transmission of Torah Shabbat Peh, that there should be no that there should be no textbook. You're saying the lack when you have a system where you use the master's textbook, right, and you don't write your own textbook, so then the lack there, it shows that you are lacking in your reception of the subject matter, that you couldn't write your own textbook, that you have to use their textbook. In other words, you're basically saying, in other words, you're not teaching what you know, you are, if there's a filter now. In other words, you're teaching through what your teacher wrote. In other words, instead of directly communicating to the student through those through that formulation which you, based on your own understanding, in other words, you're relying. In other words, you're leaning on an authority. In other words, using your master's textbook, in a sense, is your transmission is no longer a direct transmission of a body of knowledge, but now you're communicating the ideas of an authority, right? In other words, no longer is the knowledge flowing directly from you, but your knowledge now is based on authority, right? So it seems by Torah Shabbat Peh, perhaps you wanted to, they didn't, in other words, the situation, what's the best situation? That when one gives over the Torah Shabbat Peh, in other words, their presentation of Torah Shabbat Peh is based on their internal understanding of the subject matter. In other words, that they have a true, deep, penetrating knowledge of the subject matter. Is their knowledge based on authority? Is it based on relying on the authoritative statements? No. In other words, it's internalized. It becomes their own possession, and now they train the next generation of students. In other words, the idea that you have to write a textbook for the systematized textbook that everybody always have to go back to that textbook is basically implying that there's going to be a lack in the students. That the students are not going to be able to fully internalize the subject matter, and they won't be able to give over the subject matter in the most excellent way. So you have to provide them with a textbook that they can use to teach their students. Right? And that everybody for all future generations will have to go back, and they'll always have to come back to that textbook. Right? In other words, it leaves no, right? That's what the Rambam says. That's why it happened. Why did Rabbeinu know how to do that? He didn't leave it the way it was. Because he saw that there were less students. And the students were lessening and going. And there were great troubles. And the evil empire was spreading in the world and was gaining strength. And the Jews were spreading out. Right? So he made one book so it would be in all of their hands so they could learn it quickly and not forget. Right? So it seems that it was a lack in the students. It wasn't a lack in Rabbeinu Kaddish. It was a lack. He saw that there was a lack in the students, and they would not be able to fully internalize the subject matter of Torah Shabbat Peh. They wouldn't be able to fully comprehend it, and therefore they wouldn't be able to write their own notebook. They wouldn't be able to have their own textbook, so to speak, that they would teach from to teach their students. Whereas now you have to, as now they're always going to have to go back and rely on Rabbeinu HaKadosh. They're going to have to rely on his formulation. That shows a lack in the students of their understanding. Right? That's a lack in excellence in the transmission of Torah Shabbat Peh. The transmission of Torah Shabbat Peh, you want the highest presentation of knowledge possible. Right? You want it to be the result of the most penetrating and deepest understanding. Right? You don't want it to be a presentation which is based on really just, you know, based on somebody else's presentation. That shows that there's a lack in your understanding of the subject matter. You have to use the master's formulation, right? You saw there was a shift. There's something happening to the Jewish people. There's a shift here. He's going to have to do something about it. Now, if he can't do things the way that it's always been, even though this is a lack in the excellence of Talmud Torah, and that he'll basically be causing a lack in the excellence of Talmud Torah for many generations to come, right? But he has to, otherwise the whole thing would have been lost, right? Different example we're giving of the cookbook, right? Imagine either you could use your teacher's cookbook, right, that you learn the craft of cooking from, right, or you can actually write your own textbook now. In other words, when you teach your cooking class, right, so you now use you're not using your master's cookbook, you're using your own cookbook, because maybe there's certain insights that you had gained that maybe your teacher didn't, or there's what you think is the best way to present it based on your own mind and your own abilities and your own, right, and the needs that you see in your students, right? There's many different factors that could go into how a person chooses to write a book, right? So now we're stuck with, it was tremendous work. I mean, it's not so bad to be stuck with it, but in a sense, we're stuck with the Mishnah. In other words, it shows there's a lack of understanding. I mean, of course, you know, Baruch Hashem was written by Rabbeinu Kadosh, and we're in a pretty good situation, but that's what we're stuck with. But it shows a lack on the whole, and it shows that there's a lack in the Masorah. Right? There's a problem there. Right? So speaking of the Masorah, even if your understanding is inferior to your teacher, there's still the idea of Purusha Bokhtar is that it's based on your knowledge, it's based on your understanding. In other words, the only thing that we have where it's not your understanding, but we're always, there's the only thing that we go back, this I think is a further point. The only thing that we go back to as being the absolutely authoritative and that is not a product, cannot be a product of our own mind, is Tarsha B'Sah, is what Moshe Rabbeinu gave up, because that is a product of the highest nevuah that man can ever have. Then the idea of Tarsha B'Sah is the understanding of Tarsha B'Sah. Remember, we going back to the Parish of Tarsha B'Sah. But the idea of the Parish of Tarsha B'Sah is that it's a product of our understanding, as because we can't be Moshe Rabbeinu. So we need a system that we'll be able to implement, right? So now, as the tradition is passed down, so each new generation, so it has to be based on their own understanding. Even if their understanding is inferior, fine, and if their understanding is superior, fine. So it has to be based on their understanding. But if their understanding is going to be so lacking that they're not going to get the whole system, and that they're going to forget elements of the system, then it calls for a change of strategy. What Rabbeinu Wakadosh did. Right? You can't leave things to just go, you know, the way they have. You can't leave things to go the way it was going. Right? Unified book. In other words, it forces people into a situation of lack where. In other words, the Tarsha B'Sah is no longer a product of their own understanding. The Tarsha B'Sah is now based on the, is now a, always has to go back to this other person's understanding of Tarsha B'Sah. Right? In other words, it's no longer a product of your own understanding. Now you're talking about your teacher's understanding. Right? So you're always going to be, now in other words, there's going to be a step removed. You're always trying to understand what your teacher said when he wrote it down, as opposed to being a product of your own understanding. That was the goal of Tarsha B'Sah. That should be each generation, the masters of Tarsha B'Sah, that the Tarsha B'Sah has to be a result of their own internalized knowledge of the system, right? First book has to be the product of the greatest minds of the generation. They can't be the product of the previous great minds, you know, of the great minds of the previous generation, right? Because then, in other words, they say it's a living, this is a living tradition, it's a living the Torah.
There was a book about that either.
We're talking about what the most excellent and best situation would be. The best situation would be they have one basis. They fully understood the Tarsha Balpan that their teachers taught them. And now they want to present, now it's their job to give over those ideas. Now either they fully understood those ideas themselves and they'll be capable of formulating a way to express those ideas, right? Or they didn't fully.
They showed them.
We have to sort of transport ourselves back, you know, backwards in time. In other words, that would have been the ideal situation, right? So, but in other words, if there's going to be a lack in your transmission of the idea. In other words, if you realize that when you're giving over the Torah about past, and your students are going to be sitting there having to write their own notebooks. Their notebooks are not going to be complete, right? In other words, their notebooks are going to be lacking. In other words, the notes that they write for themselves, because the students are lessening and there's all these troubles, their notebooks are going to be lacking. In other words, they're going to have bad notebooks. In other words, if you're a teacher, you know there's an idea to get out a good notebook, which either matches what was taught in the class, right, or you have a bad notebook. But not everybody's notebook is identical, right? But if you have 20 amazing students and they all really understand what you're saying, they're gonna know what to say in the rough year, right? So many people took notes on the shiur and they wrote up these notes. And there's each of the people's notes, they're similar, but each one sort of has a slightly different way of presenting it, quite different nuances.
Get the same idea about
it. Right. And they might all be complete. They were all brilliant. There are a lot of these brilliant people. So, but the video code is still, in other words, there's going to be a lack in my students' notebook. Right? So what do I have to do? I'm going to have to write their notebook for them. I'm going to, here you go. Here's the notebook. This will be the way it is. In other words, because he realizes from now on there's going to be a lack in ability to transmit the transmission of the Masorah. So now you create one formalized text. From that text, we will teach the text about that in all future generations. In other words, of course, they could write additional notebooks on top of the Mishnah. And actually, what did the students do? They actually added on to the Mishnah. They wrote works which expanded on the Mishnah and helped to explain the Mishnah, right, for themselves, and actually published those works, because obviously they saw that there was going to be even more of a lack in the next generation, that Rabbeinu Kadosh's notebook, book, would not be enough. It's enough for the next generation, so they didn't write even more. Right? And then it went on and on and on until the time of the Talmud, where they thought, yes, we're going to have to write this down. Right? So, in other words, they saw there was going to be, they perceived that there would be a lack in the transmission of the Masorah. And it would have been better that each student had their own notebook. And that would show, in other words, that there was a full comprehending of this subject matter. That they really fully understood the subject matter. That we didn't have to, that the teacher didn't have to write it down for you to make sure that it wouldn't be forgotten in future generations. In other words, the teacher can't trust you. The teacher can't trust his students anymore to make sure that what he's teaching won't be forgotten. So that is important, right?